Today we want to think on the subject, our wonderful hope. What is the most beautiful thing you have ever seen, or the most wonderful thing you have ever experienced? Well, as you think of that, think of what God's Word says in Philippians 1, 21 and 23. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And then 23, for I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. And so the Bible says that it's gain to be with in heaven, it's gain to be with Christ, and it's far better. And then another question, what is the most awful thing you have ever seen or experienced? Well, as we think of that, think of Revelation 21, the last part of verse 4 and the first part of verse 5. There will be in heaven, it's referring to heaven, there will be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things have passed away. Whatever we see or experience here, those will all be gone when we get to heaven. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. Now, recently we've been talking about end times and things that are going to, things about going to be with the Lord and the great tribulation and things like that. And we mentioned last time, it's important that we keep our eyes on Christ and that we're ready for the rapture to take place. Now today we want to talk about that place where every believer is going following death or the rapture, and that is our eternal home. Someone wrote this, a fierce storm was sweeping the Great Lakes. A steam tug towing a barge began to flounder. The captain and his mates took to a small boat, and all night long they were tossed to and fro, every instant in jeopardy of their lives. In the morning they were rescued by a passing ship, and the captain afterwards testified that all the long night, as they were beaten and tossed by the tempest, there was one thing that nerved their arms and kept their hearts from sinking in despair. It was this. Shining through the darkness and the storm, they saw the lights of home. We live in a world filled with trials and troubles. Sometimes we feel like we are tossed about by the winds of adversity, and sometimes we wonder how we are going to make it through them. But we have numerous promises that take us through these storms that we experience in life. First of all, in Hebrews 13:5, we have the promise that he has said he will never leave us nor forsake us. We have the promise of his presence. Secondly, we have the promise of his grace. For 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9 tells us that his grace is sufficient for our every need. And then thirdly, we have the promise of his power. For in Philippians 4:13, scripture tells us that we can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth us. And then fifthly, we have the promise of his provision. For in Philippians 4:19, scripture tells us that our God shall supply all of our needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And then sixth, there is the light of home. After this life is over, there is the light of home. And remember what Jesus told us or told his disciples, and he's telling us before he left this earth, back in John chapter 14. John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3. And this was shortly before he went to the cross and went to heaven. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Now, what do we think about the most when we think about heaven? What is the most compelling desire that causes us to want to go to heaven? Heaven is far better than anything we have ever seen or experienced here upon earth. And we have also already seen that we will not see or experience the awful things that are so prevalent here upon the earth. For Scripture tells us that those things or those former things are passed away in heaven. Handicaps, health problems, adverse conditions, and many more things, they will be passed away. We won't experience any of that kind of stuff in heaven. But what is there about heaven that compels us the most to want to go there? Well, let's think of some things. Is it its beauty? Well, notice in Revelation 21, verses 18 to 21. Revelation 21, verses 18 to 21. The building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundation of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth an emerald, the fifth sardonyx, and the sixth sardis, and the seventh chrysolite, and the eighth beryl, and the ninth topaz, and the tenth chrysophorus, and the 11th jacinth, and the 12th amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls, several gates. Every several gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. Is that what compels us the most, its beauty? Or is it that it is eternal? Turn back to John chapter 10. John chapter 10, verse 28. John 10, 28. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Is that what compels us the most? Or is it thirdly, deliverance from the curse? Is it deliverance from the curse? Well, in Romans chapter 8, verses 18 to 23, we read, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creation was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who have subjected the same in hope, because the creation itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, every believer, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of the body. And so, is it the fact that when we get to heaven, there'll be no more pain or problems or trials or sorrows or handicaps? Or fourthly, is it that we'll see our loved ones again? In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, in verses 16 and 17, we read, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ, all of our loved ones that have already died, shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. And so shall we ever be with the Lord." So we're going to be with them. So all of our loved ones that were believers, we're going to see again in heaven. And is that what compels us the most, to want to go to heaven to see our loved ones? And then fifthly, there will be no more sin. In Revelation chapter 21, verse 27, it says, "And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they that are written in the Lamb's book of life." Now the sixth thing is that this that compels us, there will be no night there, no darkness at all. In Revelation 22, verse 5, it says, "And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever." Or is it also the river of life, seventh? The river of life. Notice in Revelation 22, verse 1, "And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb." Or is it the tree of life that compels us the most? And we read about that in Revelation 22, verse 2. "And in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations." And ninth, is it that we will be rewarded, that there will be various rewards that we'll be able to receive. Well, in Matthew chapter 5, verses 11 and 12, it says, "Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven." Great is your reward in heaven. and there's going to be rewards for whatever we do for the Lord. Many rewards. Is that the thing that compels us the most? Well, these are all a wonderful part of heaven and are all a legitimate reason for wanting to go to heaven. But I submit to you that there is an even greater reason than these that should compel us to want to go to heaven. And that is the fact that when we go to heaven, we'll be with Jesus and we'll stand in His presence face to face and we'll be there forever. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 23, we read, For I'm a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ. Notice, which is far better. And then we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 8. We are confident, I say, and willing rather, or desiring rather, to be absent from the body and to be present or at home with the Lord. And 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 and 17 tells us that we shall ever be with the Lord. Now to think that we are all sinners by birth and by choice, and as sinners to realize we are all bound for hell without Christ, and we deserve God's wrath because of our sin. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death." And John 3:18 says that we are condemned already. And Ephesians 2:3 says that we were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But John 3:16, remember it says, "But God so loved the world," and that's each of us, regardless of what we were like in our sinful condition, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We will be in heaven only because Jesus died for our sins on the cross, and He died in our place. He died the death that each of us deserved for our sin, and He suffered the penalty for our sin, the penalty that we deserve for our sin. And He was willing to be our sacrifice for our sin, and to be our substitute. If it wasn't for His great love and grace and mercy, there would be absolutely no way that we could go to heaven. Now, of course, in order to go to heaven, we have to have received Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. We need to repent of our sin, ask God's forgiveness, and ask Jesus Christ to come into our heart and life and be our Savior. And so the main reason for wanting to go to heaven is to see this one that we've received and that has saved us and given us everlasting life, and to see Him face to face and bow at His feet in thanksgiving and worship. That should be the main reason that we want to go to heaven. 1 Corinthians 15:51 tells us that our resurrection body will be different from our natural body now. it says that we shall be changed when we leave this life and go to heaven. And 1 John 3:2 says that when he shall appear, or in other words, when he comes at the rapture, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Now, how will that be? Well, Matthew 17:2 tells us that when Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration with some of his disciples, he was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. Is that how we shall be? I don't know, but whatever it will be like, we shall see Jesus, and we shall praise and worship him. In Revelation chapter 5, Revelation chapter 5, verses 9 to 14, notice what it says. And they sung a new song. Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the living creatures, and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands. And they were saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power, and riches, and wisdom, and strength, and honor, and glory, and blessing. And every creature, every living being, which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth on the throne, and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four living creatures said, Amen. And the 24 elders, the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. Now we who know Jesus Christ as our Savior will be a part of that great multitude round about the throne. What a day that will be. Yes, heaven will be wonderful. Someone wrote the following, On the jasper threshold standing, like a pilgrim safely landing, see the strange bright scenes expanding. Ah, 'tis heaven at last. What a city, what a glory, far beyond the fairest story, for the ages old and hoary. Ah, 'tis heaven at last. Christ himself, the living splendor, Christ the sunshine, mild and tender, praises to the Lamb we render. Ah, 'tis heaven at last. And in closing, let me read what someone else has written, and some of this was put into a song. Just think of stepping on shore and finding it heaven, of taking hold of a hand and finding it God's hand, of breathing a new air and finding it celestial air, of feeling invigorated and finding it immortality, of passing from storm and tempest to an unbroken calm, of looking up and finding it home. in the light of all of this that we've talked about, let's not get so attached to this world and the things of this world and our earthly home. Heaven will be far better. In Psalm 84, verse 10, we read, "For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand." In other words, than a thousand days here. "I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness." And so we shouldn't get so attached to this world, because heaven is far better. And neither should we get discouraged and despair at the trials and struggles in the life. This life will soon end, and we're going home, whether it's by death or whether it's by the rapture. We're going home, and heaven will be far better, and there will be no more sin, no more trials, no more struggles. The things that we experience in this life, the bad things, they'll be over, because we're going to be home with the Lord Jesus Christ, and we'll be with Him forever and ever. If any of you listening to this have never received Jesus as your Savior, and you don't have the promise that when you leave this life, you'll go to heaven to be with the Lord, I would challenge you and encourage you to make that decision today. It's such an important decision. Don't delay. Don't put it off. Make it today. Make sure that you're going to go home to be with the Lord forever and ever in heaven. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you for this time that you have given us. Thank you for Jesus, for his wonderful love for us in coming to earth and dying on Calvary's cross for our sin and paying the penalty of sin that we deserve. Thank you, Father, for that. And Father, thank you for the wonderful promise that one day, and we believe it could be soon, that we're going to go home to heaven to be with the Lord Jesus Christ forever and ever. We thank you and praise you for that wonderful hope that we have. And we thank you for this in Jesus' name. And for his sake, amen.